today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 6. Ready? Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given by us, by God, given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God. Please keep your Bibles open.
That's okay. For those who don't know me, I am called Joel. I'm the vicar or the pastor of Dagenham Parish Church, which is the group that sent out a small group to come here to begin Becontree Church 11 years ago. So we still meet there, which is a mile and a half, 2 miles that way. So thanks to Rob for inviting me to come. So I hope you've got that passage that we had read, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're going to look there. And Sam's prayed for us, led us in praying. So the topic I'm wanting us to think about is what is this spiritual life? What does it mean to be spiritual? If God's Spirit is in us, how will that look? We should want to be spiritual in the Bible sense. We should want to be spiritual in the way the living, real God wants us to live. So what will that look like? Now, in Paul's letter to Jesus' people in Corinth, we've got that topic is addressed. It's a city in Greece. Paul had been there and taught the people the message of Jesus, and now he's heard there's problems. And as you're going to carry on through this letter in the coming weeks, you'll see the issue is that they're not thinking and living right, because they're still living and thinking the way the world thinks. So they become Christians and they love Jesus, but lots of their choices and lots of their thinking is how they would have thought before they became Christians. They're still thinking the way the world around us thinks. So Paul is saying, look, you're believers in Jesus, but you're not yet thinking the way a believer should think. And as you go through, you'll see that he'll cover some big topics. So how we think about failure by someone in the church, how we think about sexual relationships, how we think about other believers, how we think about church meetings and what are called spiritual gifts. All of those things, Paul is going to explain to them how to be spiritual, how to think about them God's way rather than the way we might have thought about them before we're Christians. So back in chapter 1, he remembers the time he came there. Look at back chapter 1, verse 17 on the page before. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So he sent, and he spoke that message, and he said there's two kinds of reactions that I get when I teach that message. Two responses by two different groups, and they're in the next verse, verse 18 of chapter 1. For the word of God, sorry, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. So do you see the two groups there? There's the groups of people who are perishing. That means they're heading for God's judgment. They're on the road to hell. They are the perishing people. They're the people who despise Jesus. And what do they think about the despised Jesus? Verse 18, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But God is saving some people from thinking like that. He's reaching into their hearts and putting them onto a different road. And to those people, this message about the one who got hated and spat on and laughed at, that's a message of wisdom. So verse 18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's power. A message that the world that's perishing thinks is rubbish, but that those who are being saved thinks this is God's powerful message. So two very different groups. Paul went on in chapter 1 that you looked at last time, didn't he, to say people don't like this message, they think it's stupid. And then he said, look at the sorts of people God has made to be believers. You're not an impressive bunch. Sorry to say that. But like me, you're not that impressive. And God deliberately does that. He goes out of his way to pick people like us because he wants us to realize his thinking is not the same as the world's thinking. And what we've got in chapter 2 is now Paul's wanting to push the Christian believers to think, okay, I've got to choose. I've got to start trying to think harder God's way, not the world's way, to understand what spiritual really is, not the way I thought it was before I was a Christian. So I've got some pretty clunky headings. Here we go. even clunkier. Can you guess what that word is? Spiritual wisdom is hidden from... Great. Yeah, that's ruined it. Great. Okay, that one. Yes. Yeah, back. Spiritual wisdom is hidden from people of this age, but revealed to Jesus' people. So look, that's in verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6, the bit that we had read. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. So I'm starting with the second lot. The wisdom of this age, they don't accept Paul's message. So the thing that Paul, the Christian teacher, was going around was not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. They don't accept that we have sinned against God. The people around us, they don't think that's wise teaching, do they? They don't accept we need forgiveness and mercy. You don't read that in the newspapers or on the internet from the popular blog people. They don't accept that self-sacrifice is the way to truly be me. Let's think about each of those. The human way that thinks we know how God ought to act. The pride that says, well, if I was God, I wouldn't have made the world like it is. Those sort of people don't accept that we've sinned against God, which is spiritual wisdom. The worldly way that looks for powerful emotions and a vibe when they come to a religious meeting and they like big buildings that are impressive and spectacular. Even more spectacular than this one. And that's not the spiritual wisdom that says we're people who need forgiveness and mercy. The human pride behind the assisted suicide bill that's being pushed through our government that says it's unacceptable for me to have to depend on other people. That's the argument, isn't it? I don't want it when I'm so sick that I have to depend on someone else. I can't cope with that. Never mind that's what happens to babies. for their first few months and years, and what happens to most old people. But that's the human pride of worldly thinking. They do not accept the spiritual wisdom that self-sacrifice is the way to be truly me. But you see what Paul says about that way of thinking, verse 6. Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. It will be finished. It will be gone. Doomed to pass away. That's where it's going. So the teaching that Paul is teaching, he says, it's not the wisdom of this age. Spiritual wisdom. God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this age. That's my first point. Sorry if you're writing notes. That's what I've said. Yeah? First point. Spiritual wisdom is not the wisdom of this age. Second point. Spiritual wisdom is hidden from the people of this age, but it is revealed to Jesus' people. It's hidden. So verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. It's hidden. And that's why the people of this age can't know it, because God hides it. Now, I don't know if you're any good at playing hide and seek. It's pretty easy with little children, isn't it? You can hide and they can't find you for ages. With adults, it can be harder. Do you think God could hide something from me so I couldn't find it? I think he could, couldn't he? If God hides it from me, there is no way on earth I'm going to find it. And that's the idea about this hidden wisdom. God has hidden it. How could I find out what he's hidden? And so the people of this age didn't know God's wisdom. That's why they humiliated him, or humiliated his son, and tried to make him nothing. Verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. No human can work out God's plan. Because God's way of doing things is so strange and different from ours. God actually used those rulers without them realizing it. They hated and they shamed and they mocked Jesus. They thought they were being cleverer than him. But God, in his greater wisdom, actually used that. We see that in verse 9. But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. No one can climb high enough or search deep enough to work out God's wisdom, God's plan. No one can think hard enough or be clever enough to work out God's wisdom. No one can imagine God's way of rescue for his people. And so this quote from the Old Testament says, this world is blind and deaf. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's blind and deaf to God's ways. I mean, who would think that he'd pick a group like this to be his precious family? Who would think that he would lead his people through a life of struggles and weakness and often being laughed at? Who would pick that? People, when they see that, they say, how stupid. That can't be the way of God. So how is it that anyone can understand it, given it seems so stupid? If God has hidden it, I can't find it, nor can you. No one can see it, no one can hear it, beyond imagining. How can anyone know it? It says in verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. That's how we can know it. No one can work it out, but God has revealed it. It was in his mind. I can't tell what's in your mind, and you can't tell what's in my mind. Any person who can work out, you know, say what is in my mind, what I'm thinking about, is me. So you can know it if I tell you. And it's the same with God. Verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. I can't work out what you're really thinking. I can't work out what God's really thinking. The psychologists and the interrogators in the films, you know, and the lie detectors, We love it in the films where they can work it out, can't we, what that person's really thinking or what's really going on. But it's science fiction to imagine that somehow I can get Sam's thoughts and put them onto the projector here and we can all see what's in his head. That happens in the sci-fi movies, doesn't it? Not in the documentaries. Right, okay. Sam is thinking about farming at the moment. Okay. But it's the same with God. We can't work out what's in God's head. But if God tells us what's in his head, we can know it. And that's said in verse 12. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So you know that people in Beckentree might have lots of ideas about what kind of God they'd imagine, but those are ideas in their heads. It doesn't tell us what God is thinking in his head. The world in its greatness and cleverness doesn't know God because God's way seems stupid to it. So we can't know God and we won't know him until he reveals his wisdom to us through his Spirit. And the reason Paul is saying this is not, it's tremendous comfort for us, isn't it, if we're going door to door knocking or, you know, we just see that people keep saying, you Christians are stupid. Great encouragement. But the point Paul is saying here is, for you Christians, you need to remember this. Now you're a believer, you've got to start practicing this in how you live, because these people in Corinth, they were still thinking like they did before they were Christians. And Paul is trying to persuade them, you've got to leave that behind. I know it looks stupid, and your mates at work and your family think it looks stupid, but God's way is stupid to the world. You've got to make that choice. So, God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this age. Spiritual wisdom is hidden from people of this age, but revealed to Jesus' people. Only by God's Spirit can we understand the things from God. He's really saying the same things over and over in this section. So the people of this age don't have the Spirit of God. What does that mean? They think about the message of Jesus. I've said this already, but let's see that it's in the Bible. Verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. They do not accept the things from the Spirit. One of my neighbours in Leytonstone, where we lived before we came here, I talked to them about the message of forgiveness through Jesus and how we could be sure of life. And he said, oh, it just can't be that simple. You know, if this is something that's going to explain life to me, it can't be so simple. Met someone here in Dagenham a couple of weeks ago, said, I'm a believer. And he said, well, if it suits you, I'm happy for you. You know, they're not grasping at all that this is the significance of the message of the Bible about God. God's ways are foolish to them. And most especially the man Jesus, who was tricked. And then they stripped him naked, and then they hung him on a cross, and they spat on him, and they laughed at him whilst he died. Who'd follow him? Stupid. Why can't they understand? It says in verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit for their folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. So without the Holy Spirit, they can't understand them. Only the person with the Holy Spirit can understand. Now, we mustn't think, oh, I've got God's Spirit. I can understand things they don't. Why don't they see it? Why don't they see how clever I am? It's because they think I'm stupid. They're not going to think I'm clever because it's folly to them. I'm not going to win them over by having clever arguments because everything I'm saying is stupid. They're engaging with someone who can sort of have ideas like their ideas, and maybe my ideas are slightly better than them. I'm thinking stupid things if I'm a believer. So there are the people of this age, the people without the Spirit, and then there are the people with the Spirit. Verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Now, that's it's a pretty strange thing to say. The best understanding I've come about it is when they judge all things, it's not that we can understand everything. It's not I can design a rocket or understand complicated chemistry. It's that I know about the things in this world and I know about spiritual things, all those kinds of things. So it's not that I know every answer to every difficult question, but I know both categories. Whereas the people of the world only know the world things. They haven't started to understand the things that the Spirit shows us. They understand power. They understand prestige. They understand clever speech. But the Christian person also knows God's ways. The world generally hides from big questions like, what is going to happen when I die? What is the point of my life? How can I cope with being lonely? They hide from those questions, but the spiritual person doesn't need to hide, because if we're willing to accept God's simple answers, there are clear answers. So if we're believers, we can understand those people in the world without the Spirit, but the people without the Spirit can't really understand us. That's what the end of verse 15 means. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, because they don't understand us, because they can't. Because they can't see into the mind of God, and God hasn't revealed his mind to them. That's what Paul's been saying. Verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? What's going to be the answer to that question? No one. No one can instruct the mind of the Lord. Yeah? No one can know it. But we have the mind of Christ. So no one can tell God how he should do things, but God can tell us how he's doing things. He can give us his understanding. So it doesn't mean I have God's brain or you've got God's brain. But we can see things his way. We can see things with his wisdom. We can see that kindness is more important than power. We can see that forgiveness is better than winning. We can see that truth is better than appearing good. We can see that living within his ways is better than trying to express my desire. The spiritual words Paul is talking about here, it's not sort of super complicated stuff that only some believers can understand. The spiritual words are the simple, clear message of Jesus that unbelievers can't understand, and it seems nonsense to them. That's what he's talking about. This age doesn't know God's way. This age doesn't know God's ways, the people of this world. Now, as I thought this was going to be a cinch preparing this talk when I saw Rob in the week, but it wasn't as simple as I thought. I had to think about it a bit more. One thing that's helpful when you look at a passage is to ask, well, what are some practical things I'm supposed to do here? Is there any instructions for something for me to do? And there's nothing here. There's nothing for me to practically do. Is there a warning? Something I've got to avoid? That'd be useful. Nope, none of those. Any promises? Is there a promise here I can trust? That'd be good, wouldn't it? I could sing about that promise afterwards and encourage us. But there's none of those. No commands. No warnings. No promises. It's just describing things. And I think that's Paul is saying to these new Christians, look at how the people of this age, the world, think. It's no wonder they say you're stupid if you're a believer. And you mustn't carry that old thinking into your new way of life. That's what Paul's wanting us to understand. He's not got onto the details of it yet, but he wants us, first of all, to make that choice. He wants them to decide, okay, now I've got this new life as a believer. I've got to decide not to follow the way of this world. And he said back in chapter 1, verse 18, they're perishing. Do I want to be with the group who are perishing? Probably not. He says in verse 6 of chapter 2, they're passing away. Don't want to be in that gang? Probably not. No, I'd rather be amongst the people who look fools because they follow the simple message of Jesus. And then let that affect how I think about failure and how I think about sexual morality and how I think about other believers and church meetings and spiritual gifts. All those things Paul's going to bring up later in the letter. But for now, the choice is, am I going to try and think about all of my life in this new spiritual way? And even if it looks weak and foolish to the person I used to be or to people who are not yet Christians, that's the choice. And that's the spiritual way of thinking that he's talking about here, that we need to be willing to take on. And he's given us great reasons to do that. So let me just recap my headings. God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this age. Yeah. Spiritual wisdom is hidden from people of this age. That's why they do not get it. But it is revealed to Jesus' people. Only by God's Spirit can we understand the things of God. So that's then the choice for us. We need to make the choice. Am I now going to live out my new life according to spiritual wisdom? Or am I going to try and make my church and my life and my behavior sort of really impressive to what the world thinks is impressive? That's the choice for us. Do we do questions or shall I just pray? Yeah, if anyone's got a question, I can pass it on to Rob. That's okay, it's fine. If something had come up into your mind, it would be good to... but if you've got a question afterwards, I'll stop for a little bit afterwards and we can talk. Let me lead us in praying. Heavenly Father, it is extraordinary to us to think about the things in this chapter. That your ways are so strange to people because they're hidden. They're inside your head and we can't get in your head unless you show it to us. And yet people all around us imagine that they know what you're like and the way you should do things. And we used to think that as well before we were believers. Please help us to be more truthful and to be more humble and to realize we can only know anything about you if you show it to us, if you reveal to us what is in your mind. Help us, please, to accept that your teaching and your ways are folly to the people around us, and they will think we're stupid and be rude about us. But help us remember as well that they're perishing, and all of the things they treasure are passing away. And so I pray for the church here in Becontree and for me, that we would be willing to think about our lives your way, not the world's way. Amen.